You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout. Hello and welcome to episode 69 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. I am delighted to welcome back Robin Taylor. Robin, welcome to the podcast.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be back on and share an update about Charlie.
Yes. No, that's what we're really, really looking forward to. Because if people have heard part one, it's a really fascinating story where you talk about the start of Charlie's life and her diagnosis of Hirschsprung's. If anybody hasn't checked that out yet, definitely do so. It's a really, really good insight. Fantastic episode. But you are here to talk about something. Well, give us an update, really, on Charlie, because as we left the last episode, we talked a little bit about what might be next for Charlie, and you were sort of deciding between what to do next in terms of surgery. Would you like to give everyone an update, really, on what you decided and how you came to that decision?
Yeah, for sure. So when we left off, we had been to Ohio, and we visited Dr. Wood at Nationwide Children's Hospital in September. And it was at that time that we discovered that she had was missing 80% of the dentate line, causing all sorts of issues. And from there, we tried multiple things. So we tried doing laxatives. We tried doing enemas. Nothing was really working. The laxatives, it was like we could not get the right amount. It was either way too much or not enough to do anything. She was still having uncontrollable diarrhea, like just nonstop. And so that really wasn't an option. She was not tolerating the enemas, and that was not an option. It just was awful. So we're like, we can't do this. We're kind of at a loss. What do we do? So it was late November when we had a call with the surgeon, and he basically said, your only option at this point is to go forward with the Malone surgery. And so basically that is using the appendix, connecting that to the colon, and then through the belly button, kind of having a channel to do, you know, to process the enemas basically from the belly button, process it down instead of going, you know, the traditional enema route. So it was really like such a crazy, you know, like 24-hour period after kind of having that conversation with the surgeon and really understanding like where we were at as far as like we have no other option. They're like, well, you can do that or a colostomy bag. Like, that's it. Like, you know, it was just kind of like, obviously, we don't want to do that if that's not necessary. So, you know, we just took like the next 24 hours, my husband and I talked about it and prayed about it. And we were super nervous, but we were like, okay, we're going to move forward. And that's what we're going to do because she cannot continue to sustain this kind of life. Like, there was no quality of life at this point. She had to, we really couldn't keep her in gymnastics because she couldn't stay for even a 15-minute class. She couldn't make it throughout the class. She was struggling. And we kind of had stopped going to church even because like she couldn't go in the childcare. She wouldn't sit in the, you know, in the church. So it's like all of these things. And we didn't really realize at the time, like we were really not doing any of our daily, like our normal life. But, you know, looking back now, I'm like, wow, like we're able to do all of this stuff now that we weren't able to do then because we did go forward and do the Malone surgery. So, and it was crazy because it was literally, they were like, okay, well, can you come next week? And I was like, we're in Texas. They're in Ohio. I'm like, I mean, go ahead and put us on the schedule. Let me see what I can do. I mean, I am frantic because this is like Thanksgiving week. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm like trying to get everything scheduled and planned. And like, I have goosebumps just thinking about it because I look back, even in kind of those moments when I was at the hospital, when we were at the hospital and kind of like just thinking back to our journey, I'm like, this was a total God thing that we were even able to get everything lined up perfectly to be able to leave and go have her surgery a week after. It was insane. It was insane. But we did it. And thankfully, like, I don't know. I just feel like our angels showed up. Like, our community showed up. Our angels showed up. We got, you know, my mom took care of the big kids. We flew and we actually got our flight completely covered. So we didn't pay for our airline flight at all because we were able to use, like getting like shaky just like talking about it, but we were able to use Delta SkyWish, and they give you donated Sky Miles. And basically, if you have a child that has a medical need and needs to travel, they have these miles that they're able to give you. So that was incredible. And then we were able to stay at Ronald McDonald House again. So that was our second time to visit there. So it just all lined up, and it just feels like I just get emotional thinking about it and revisiting like all of the process that we went through. But it felt like, oh my gosh, this was such a God thing to line up so perfectly for us to be able to do this at this time.
Fantastic. And just for people who are unsure about, in terms of distance, Texas to Ohio, flight wise, how long was that?
It was like a little over 3 hour flight, I would say. Wow. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That is an awful long time. And you just had to sort of drop everything and then away you went. I mean, there was sort of, and I guess when you kind of, you're waiting on that call, you just kind of think, right, this is really, really important. I just need to drop everything and bang, away you go.
Yeah, it was crazy. We definitely wanted to, we wanted to get it done before the end of the year. They wanted to get it done as soon as possible once we made that decision because they don't want her suffering any longer than she has to. There was also some medical concerns, like if this continues, she could have other issues. So it was just like there was a huge sense of urgency. And then we also didn't want it to be too close to Christmas. He was like, there's no reason to have her in the hospital at Christmas time. So there was just a lot that went into it. But I definitely felt really supported throughout all of it. And the company I work at, they were so great too, to just like, you got to do what you got to do. Like, family comes first. And that felt really incredible.
If we carry along that line as well, because I know we were talking a little bit off air about the company you work for, and you mentioned very briefly there about Ronald McDonald. And the company you work for, ended up donating towards Ronald McDonald. How did that sort of come about?
Yeah, so every year we have a charitable donation program, and we, you know, everyone just kind of suggests whatever charity they want the money to go towards. And after sharing Charlie's story and how we were so impacted by Ronald McDonald House, that was overwhelmingly the vote for this year. So we were able to donate over $17,000 to the local Fort Worth Ronald McDonald House. So that was really amazing. And since then, we are also in partnership to do other volunteer events with them. So
that's fantastic. No, fantastic. No, thank you so much to the company you work for. I don't know if you wanted to say their name or whatever. But yes, thank you. Thank you so much to them, because that's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
No, brilliant. And then I guess to carry on the story and back to Charlie, you've made plans to go ahead with the surgery. You've flown to Ohio. I know you took a few photos and reels. And I know you share them on Instagram as well about your time at Ronald McDonald House. And I know you'd been there before. But just in terms of your experience and in terms of it being such a special place to you, why is it so special?
I think because, when you're in such a hard place, you're struggling so much because your child is not well. It just was like one less thing to have to worry about, like a place to stay, coordinating a hotel, all of that. But it was so much more than that because you also have the community, the other families that are there. I was able to connect with several different families, and they also had children with Hirschsprung's disease. So for the first time ever, meeting someone that actually had a kid with Hirschsprung's disease was incredible. We just, shared stories, we cried together. And even though I only met, them for like one day, or, got to see them a couple days, it feels like I'm so close to them because we share something that I don't share with anyone else. And it's that shared experience of having, a child with this disease. Nobody really understands. And so that was really cool. I wish that I would have had more, time to spend with those families. Because, the second time that we went, we were in the hospital most of the time. So my husband Jordan would walk across the street. Well, that's another thing. Like it's literally across the street from the hospital. So it's so easy to access the hospital. But he would just walk across the street to sleep every night. But I would sleep in the hospital. So I was only really at the house like maybe two nights, the night before we went into surgery and then the night after we got released. So, didn't get to spend a whole lot of time there, but the time spent there, you feel loved, you feel supported, and it's nice to have that steady place that that you can rely on and count on to be there for you when you need a place to stay when you're at the hospital with your kiddo, and Charlie loves it there. Loves it. She was just telling me like last night, I want to go back to the Donald Hotel. That's what we call it. She calls it the Donald Hotel. And so she loves it there. It's fun for them. It's not like a hotel is fine and all, but this place is like a little resort for kids. Like they have all the playrooms, they have all sorts of stuff for them to be a kid and to forget about the medical stuff they're going through, and just have fun. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's like it is fun for her to stay there. And it just amazes me that even though she went through all of this stuff like at the hospital while we were there, she still remembers the Donald Hotel being a fun place. And so that to me means everything.
That's fantastic. And I know you mentioned as well a little bit about shared experiences with parents that have gone through or having Hirschsprung's children and surgery and whatever. And I get where you're coming from with that, with talking to people about Hirschsprung's, because it's fine talking to friends, talking to family, talking to other people with chronic illness, but it's not the same as when you talk to people with Hirschsprung's. Did you find that as well?
Yeah, definitely, because it's so unknown. Like nobody really gets it. And even explaining it, it's kind of like they're like, they just don't get it because you haven't lived through it. And that's, obviously they never could, but it's like that shared experience of, having a child born with Hirschsprung's and then getting diagnosed and then everyone's journey, even with the disease, looks so different. So it was also really cool to hear everyone's story and kind of how like their experience has been and what kind of journey they've had along the way. And others, have other things going on other than Hirschsprung's, as well. Some of them have additional diagnoses that, have made things even more complex. So you're just able to connect on a different level, I think. And it's really cool to like know, wow, we're not alone in this, Like it's nice to hear the stories that are on your podcast and know that like, oh wow, there are other options. Like she doesn't have to live like this forever. There are other avenues, there are other doctors out there. And so I think that that's really important for me to share as well, is that at our local GI and local hospitals, they were not able to give us the care that she needed. even though we're in a large metroplex. You know, it is not like we're in a small town where there's not resources and great doctors available. We're in a large metroplex, and you think that you're in great hands. And maybe you are for other things, but with this specific disease, you need someone that really knows what they're talking about, and they put in the work and they have the experience and the years of knowledge to understand it. And I truly wish I would have known that at day two, you know, but you don't. And that I've given myself grace, and I'm okay with that because I was doing the best I could with what I knew, and we thought that we were in the very best hands. But after, you know, test after test and then not figuring out what's going on with her, I was just like, no, they don't get it. And so it's time to, you know, just really do your research and find the doctor that's going to understand this disease and be able to help your kiddo.
Most definitely. And again, for anybody who hasn't listened to your story up till sort of surgery, what we're going to talk about in a moment, it really is worth a listen because your story is fascinating. And if you haven't gone back to listen to part one, please, please do, because it's a really, really good episode. But with Charlie and her surgery, you went for the Ace Malone surgery, a surgery that I had as well. And I know we talked about it at the end of your part one when you were thinking, well, should I do this? Should I do that? This is the same surgery that I had 20 and a bit years ago. I'm showing my age a little bit there. But would you like to talk a little bit about how the surgery came about?
Yeah, so you know, it was really after we just tried everything that we could try and realized that we have to give this option a go, and felt like, you know, it would be the best scenario for her to be able to continue to live, you know, her life and not have all of the distraction. And so it was, you know, it was a whirlwind. We got to Ohio. We stayed a night at Ronald McDonald House, and then the next day we went into the hospital, and she started like the bowel prep, which was awful. Awful. So if you just, you know, it is awful. That was probably one of the worst things that happened in the whole process, was just the bowel prep and getting everything out. Because she's three, and it was, you know, she's like doesn't understand it, and we had some issues, so they had to put a oh gosh, now I'm losing what it's called, but a tube down her nose. Yeah, and so they could give her the medicine and it would hit quickly to get everything cleaned out, and the tube wasn't placed in the right area, like it was clogged and stuck. And so it took like hours to figure out that it was stuck and that we had to then take it out and then redo it. And so it was just like those little things adding up to the surgery that was very, very challenging for her. And then it was like, okay, now we got to get an X-ray, make sure that that is in the right spot. And so getting an X-ray, and then, you know, so it didn't get kicked off when it should have. It was way later in the night. And so we're literally doing bowel prep all night long throughout the whole night. So it was just, that was kind of challenging. And she doesn't understand it, and she's like freaking out. And then the IV, you know, the IV wasn't that bad for her. It was more so like the tube, and it, yeah, all of that was awful. But we got through that. And then, you know, it was really great at the hospital because they had playrooms on the floor. So we got to go to the playroom and play before she had surgery. And then she went to surgery. It was about an hour and a half that she was in there. And that's always like so nerve-wracking because they text you with updates, which is great, but I'm like, why aren't they texting? They haven't texted in a long time. You know, like it's just like it's great to get the updates, but then if I'm not getting them soon enough or enough, then I'm freaking out thinking, why am I not getting an update? So yeah, I'm just, and then it's like hitting an hour and a half exactly, and I'm like, They said it'd be about an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half. Like, why aren't they here? And I just like had a major panic attack in the middle of this time period when she was back at surgery. Panic attack. And I was in the waiting room. I was just bawling hysterically. And I'm like looking at my husband. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't calm down. Like, I'm freaking out. Because you're thinking about like the surgery that's happening itself, but then I'm thinking about what is this going to look like afterwards, and are we making the right choice? And I mean, I'm just like, I can't calm down. And so, literally, right there in the waiting room, I just hit my knees and I just started praying. I just was on my knees praying. And there's only been a few times in my life that I've done that. Like, just don't care where I'm at. I'm on my knees and I'm praying. And that was one of the times. And I was like, I don't know what else to do. And so I am going to just be here praying. And so, and then it wasn't long after that, I started getting some peace and like calming down. And then we went back. We were able to like go back to her, the room, because that's where they were going to bring her afterwards. So we went back to the room. We got some text updates that everything's going great. She came out of surgery fine. And then just that waiting of like, oh my gosh, like waiting for her to come back felt like it took forever. But yeah, she came back and she woke up from the anesthesia, and you know, all of the surgery was a success. So that was amazing.
That's fantastic. And I think there's a lot of people that can sympathize with you there about the, excuse me, the anxious wait for surgery. That feeling, there'll be a lot of people listening to this episode who will know exactly what that feels like. That sort of that waiting for the doors to open, or to get updates. Or anything like that. I think, and you describe, I think the panic attack really well, because it's, again, I dare say there will be people listening to this who will have gone through that experience as well. And that sort of feeling of they should be out by now. You know, they said it'd be an hour and a half. It's now 1 hour 35. You know, it should be done by now. And I think that's a totally normal thing to think. I don't know about anybody else, but I think that's totally normal to think, right, it's going to be this time, and it isn't. So now I'm, slightly or very worried.
Yeah, I am panicking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And my husband could handle it so much better than I could, because I was just like, obviously he's nervous too and feeling the same feelings, but I was not okay. I was just, I didn't, it was almost like an out of body experience. Like, this is not my life. I'm not in my body right now. What is happening? Where are, and also, I think, I mean, just the whirlwind of like, a week ago, we found out that we were going to do this, and now we're here. I mean, I'm sure that all of that, you know, plays a part in the anxiousness as well, because it all seemed to happen so fast. So
Yeah.
there wasn't a lot of time to process.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
May I introduce you to Frequency Medicine from BioHealthScan? It's a brilliant new way to achieve optimal personal health safely, scientifically, painlessly. Find out more about our 21-day challenge. Google biohealth-scan.com/21-day-challenge or ukhealthradio.com for details of our amazing 20% discount offer. Discover what you can achieve with BioHealthScan and enjoy a 20% introductory discount into the bargain. BioHealthScan, paving the way to manage your health a better way.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the word I was going to use. You've had no time to process within 7 days, going from being at home, doing everything normally, to right bang on a flight into hospital, into surgery, hour and a half. I mean, that's a lot to process in five, six, 7 days.
Yeah. And also kind of maybe a good thing that it happened so quickly too, because I didn't have the time to think and worry and stress, right? So I'm like, it all happened in its timing, because otherwise I probably would have like overthought it and overdone it, and you know, I would have just been more of a mess. So
no, there are definitely pros and cons, because if you had said, you know, it's going to be in a month's time, you've got 30 days to worry about it, whereas you're actually too busy to worry, I guess.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But no, that's so in terms of the surgery, where then Charlie woke up, she absolutely fine. Did she sort of feel any different than she had before?
No, not really. She woke up just fine. Everything seemed to like just be really smooth after the surgery. She was able to eat pretty quickly, and she was able to like handle all the food and everything. So she was just happy. And then it was kind of like day two, where it's kind of like, what is this thing in my belly, you know, like just kind of really not happy about it. Like, and she did not want to look at it. She did not want anybody else to look at it. She wanted her, you know, clothing to cover it. So that was challenging. And then we did and then there's lots of x-rays, and I'm like, I hate having to do all these x-rays, but you know, an x-ray before we did the flush, and then an x-ray after we did the flush, like, you know, just to make sure everything is processing fine. And it all was. And so her first flush, she did great and it worked well. You know, it was cool because the hospital is so collaborative and they have such a great team that we had, which is great, but also I think it was a little overwhelming for Charlie because we had like 5 people in the room, you know, so she's like, what is happening? But it was great because we had the support from all elements. You know, we had Child Life, and we had a psychologist, and we had the physical therapy. You know, they were all helping us like learn how to do this, and so hands-on with teaching us. So that was really cool and beneficial because we learned a lot through that experience. And I really can't say enough about Child Life, because the Child Life specialist was amazing and, you know, just made it fun for Charlie, brought in all sorts of other things to like distract her and Play-Doh and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So that was cool and a fun distraction for her to get to play and do her flush. So yeah, it worked well. And then we were out of the hospital and back at Ronald McDonald House for one or two more nights after that just to make sure that everything was good before we flew home. I was kind of nervous. I'm like, how soon can we leave? Because I don't want to leave too soon and then like need y'all. But they're like, if everything's good after a day, you're good. I'm like, okay. So I was worried about the flight.
Yes.
But she is fine. You know, so after she had them alone, she has a tube coming out of her belly button and it's pretty long. So it's looped around and then stuck on with tape, Tagoderm tape. And then it's kind of hanging, you know, on the side. And so she's got like this thing hanging and it's got like two ends. And one of them is where you unplug to do the flush. And it's kind of like a cap that's put on there to plug it up. But it's kind of big and it's hanging and she's three. So I'm like, oh my God. You know, I was so worried that that thing, that tube was going to get yanked out. And there were several moments where I was like scared to look because she had a big crash. You know, she fell and I'm like, okay, let me see if it's still there and peek up and it's there. So, you know, we're all good. But yeah, that was kind of terrifying. Literally the first day we got home, we had like this half wall and she does like a backflip off of it and lands on the tile. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. So, but we survived that. So that was good.
Yeah. I think you've mentioned before how she's a very active three-year-old as well. I'd seen you posted bits and pieces of her doing gymnastics. I know you said that she couldn't do the 15-minute gymnastics because of, you know, various worries. Is she back to doing gym now?
Yes, she is back to gymnastics. She loves it. That was a whole thing because when did she go back? I think she went back in January. Yep. So we had to go back to Ohio in January to get her tube that was in taken out and the chait tube replaced it. So now she has the tube isn't coming out of her belly anymore. It's just like this little trapdoor situation on her belly button. So it's like a button. We call it a belly button button. And so we went to back to Ohio in January to have that done. And so when we got back from that trip, we got her back into gymnastics. I did not want the hanging tube at gymnastics. I could not handle that. So we waited. But what's cool about the trip in January is we were able to bring all the kids. So the two older kids went with us. We took a road trip. And we just thought it'd be important for them to kind of see that part of our lives with Charlie because they had not experienced it. And Charlie was so excited to show them. So we stayed at Ronald McDonald House. It was only a couple night stay that time, but it was cool for them to get to like experience that. And Charlie loved showing them around. It was like, this is that. And like showing them everything that she, you know, knew about in her previous visits. And then she walked around the hospital like she knew where everything was. And like she was just showing them all around. It was so cute, but it was special for them to get to see that and be a part of that journey. So,
yeah. But I guess that's her thing, isn't it? That's her thing that she's only done with you and Jordan. And
yeah,
that, you know, the your other children haven't seen her thing, which is, you know, the Donald Hotel.
Yes, the Donald Hotel. It's her place. So yeah, it was really fun. And you know, they're always doing so many cool like events for the families there. And so the night that we went, they actually had a Columbus Blue Jackets hockey player there playing bingo. So he was doing the little bingo thing. And we're big hockey family. So my son plays hockey and we're Dallas Stars fans. And so my husband had on like a green Dallas Stars thing. And so the player kept eyeballing him. And so it was a whole thing and it was fun. And Charlie like asked to do the little spinner for the bingo. And it was just so cool. It's nice that they do a lot for the families, just, you know, to kind of entertain and keep their mind off of maybe what's going on medically. So that was fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you echo the sentiments of a lot of people who come on here and are so grateful for Ronald McDonald. And I know I had someone from Ronald McDonald UK come on as well and talk about what they do, and Jazz, who came on and spoke really well about Ronald McDonald. So yes, we are huge fans of Ronald McDonald House at this podcast. So in terms of, you explain what Charlie's had and how she's back to doing her gymnastics now. Was there kind of a future plan that you were given, or was it sort of more of a tentative, we'll see how we go type thing?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so it's kind of, we'll see, wait and see how things go. We were kind of told that as she grows older, she could gain function and not need the Malone anymore. We're told that that's usually around like puberty time, the body's changing, there might be a gained function there. So we're kind of going to take it just day by day and see how things go. And if there's that time period where we think that things have changed, then we'll try that out and see if we are able to possibly move away from the Malone. But, you know, right now it's kind of unknown, which is kind of scary because she could do this forever, need this forever, which is not the worst thing in the world. As long as it continues to work well, like it has been, then it gives her, you know, that quality of life that, that she doesn't have to worry about like constantly pooping, you know? So that's nice in a way. It's like, I'm so grateful for it. So we don't know. Maybe like, it's kind of like the doctor's like, miraculous things happen. And it would be something pretty miraculous if she was to gain function, but I'm praying for the miracle to happen. So we'll see.
Absolutely. I hope so as well. I mean, I know you mentioned in the first episode that Charlie's missing a large portion of her dentate line. Was it 80%, you said?
Yeah.
So obviously that then caused a lot more complications. But no, I really hope that that the Malone works. Has it kind of, so far, I know it's only been a couple of months since she had the surgery, and how is she getting along with it?
She's doing really well, all things considered, especially with her being three. So she, it's working well. So she does one daily flush, and it gets everything out, and she is clean for 24 hours. So that has been amazing. The challenging part is that, you know, she has to sit for 45 minutes on the potty every night. And so that's been a little challenging because nobody really wants to have to do that. But to be three and be busy and have, you know, things to do and, you know, wants to just play. She doesn't want to spend that time on the potty. So some nights are harder than others, but she, I think, is getting more used to it. And it's funny because some nights, you know, we've got a whole setup. So I've got a squatty potty for her feet to sit on. She's got her little seat that goes over the toilet. And then she has a little table that I put in there. So she has a table. We have toys, Play-Doh, like all sorts of things to entertain her. And some nights she gets so busy playing, it's like, time is up. You can, like, we can get out of the bathroom now. And she just wants to keep playing. And so I'm like, she just gets so involved. And that's great because I'm like, okay, she's not even caring that she's sitting on the potty anymore. She's just having fun playing. And so, you know, sometimes that's the struggle, is like actually getting her to get off the potty. So she's doing really, really good.
That's fantastic. I think that's interesting. You mentioned about having distractions and having, you know, something there to do, because it can be. And I've spoken to many people who've gone through the same sort of, you know, whatever washouts they do, have that sort of set up and system as well, because it can be a long time. I mean, 45 minutes for a 3-year-old is like 3 weeks. So it can be an awfully long time. So I think that's a really good idea. And if anybody takes anything else away from this podcast, I think that's something that's really, really important, to sort of make sure that there are, you know, distractions, things to do and whatever. I think that's brilliant. Another last little point I'm gonna make as well. When you went back to Ohio, I know I'm jumping all over the place a little bit here. Did you go back to see Dr. Wood again?
Yeah, we did.
Excellent. And because I know you saw Dr. Wood last time, and he comes, I've never met the guy, I've never spoken to him, but he comes very highly recommended. And I presume that, you know, when he explained everything, having that sort of continuity was very reassuring.
Yes, for sure. And I would say, along with that, like, his whole team is so great. You know, they're always so quick to respond. You know, the first couple of nights after we left the hospital, when we went back the last time in January, we had the, you know, the little chait tube or whatever. And I'm like, the button is like this. And then all of a sudden I look after she showered and it's like this. And I'm like, okay, is that normal? You know, like, I'm so oversensitive about medical stuff with her. And so I'm just thinking, like, is that okay? I don't know. So I'm messaging the hospital. It's like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., you know, and they get back to me right away. And they're always able to, like, ease my mind. And they're like, that can be normal. It's totally fine. You can turn it back, but it's fine. And I'm like, okay. Then, like, TMI, but like our second time doing a flush by ourselves, all of a sudden there's poop like coming up through the tube. And I'm like freaking out. Nobody told me that this could happen.
No.
You know, I'm like, oh, is this okay? You know, so I message them and they're like, that's totally fine. That can happen. And so I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I guess like everything's fine. I need to stop like being so worried about every little thing, because it's all good. Like, no worries.
That's normal, though. That's like, I think, again, a lot of people will sympathize with being in your situation. This is, Hirschsprung's is not necessarily something you can just Google and go, what do I do next? It's not really like that.
No, it's not at all. So I'm grateful that the team is so responsive. Shout out to Nurse Jackie, because she's the one that usually responds very quickly, and especially like at night or on the weekends, she gets back to me. So I'm like, okay, I can breathe, you know. When she had the temporary tube at first, there were, you know, just things that came up with that, and I'm like, taking pictures and sending it. And I'm like, is this okay? Is this normal? Like, and they're always just so great and so quick to get back to me.
Fantastic. No, that's really, really good to hear that you've got someone on the end of the phone who can just say yes or no, rather than saying, oh, I'll check, or I'll get back to you in a week, or, you know, something like that. No, that's incredibly reassuring. No, that's fantastic. And then I guess, lastly, I know we've talked a little bit about medically, you know, where you think Charlie, well, where Charlie is at the moment and where you'd kind of like her to be, whether you stay with them alone, whether you eventually, you know, when she gets a bit older, whether you tend to reverse or change or whatever that might be. And I guess it's in terms of the near future, what would you like for Charlie in the next, you know, couple, 3 years or so?
Yeah, I think I want to see her just continue to grow and thrive. It was like, I didn't think that, you know, the challenges before the Malone were impacting her that much, because she was still such a happy, positive, energetic kiddo. But we did see a change after the Malone. We saw like this new sense of energy, this new sense of life. So that was really amazing. I want to see her continue that spirit, just be true to herself. And I want to see her, you know, use this, and it'll be years and years until she's able to probably like use this and share her story and her journey and help others. But I want to see her, you know, turn this into something that helps others in the future. You know, she's so resilient, and I think that I see that continuing in her life. I know that these challenges will just make her stronger. So I want to continue to see her just blossom.
Absolutely. And I very nearly forgot, and you've just said something and reminded me, so thank you. There is something that you are currently working on to do with Charlie and her story. Would you like to talk a little bit about that as we finish?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I am working on a children's book that is all about Charlie's story. And so you know, a lot of different reasons for this, but one of them is so that Charlie has that book, and it's a memory for her, so that she can kind of look back and see all the things that she accomplished and all the things that she went through, and really the bravery that she had to get through all of that in such a spunky, like feisty spirit that she is. But it's also to help other kids out there that either have Hirschsprung's disease or they have something rare that others might not understand. It's so that they understand themselves a little bit better, but they also know that everyone, you know, has a unique story, and you don't have to be just like everyone else. It's okay to be different and, you know, learn how to accept yourself for how you are and who you are, and just have the bravery, you know, to go through hard things. So with the book, I'm also going to be asking other families that have kiddos with Hirschsprung's disease if they'd like to be in the book, because at the end, I'm going to have stories of other people's journey with Hirschsprung's and kind of highlight them with pictures and that sort of thing, and share their story, so that you know, everyone can know that they're not alone. Because in, you know, in this, it feels it's very easy to feel like you're alone, and so I want others to know that they're not alone in this, and that you can get through it.
Fantastic, and I wish you all the best with that, because I know we come from the same place, been getting people to not feel alone, and I think that's incredibly important. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on again. It's been great to hear Charlie's update, to hear that she's doing really, really well, to hear that everything's, you know, going in the right direction, really positive for the future. So thank you so much for providing an update, and I wish you, Charlie, and the rest of your family all the very, very best for the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to give an update, and thank you for having this platform.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprung's Podcast, or Instagram on on Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.